let's turn our Bibles to Romans. Romans chapter 6. Tonight we are starting a new section of Romans. So far we've seen where Paul has taught us the doctrine of sin and condemnation, which we saw in from Romans chapter 1 up to Romans chapter 3, how we are, we are lost in our sin, unable to save ourselves. Then we saw from chapter 3 to chapter 5, Paul taught on the doctrine of justification. He taught on justification, that we are saved from our sin by grace through faith. And now we are moving into the discussion on sanctification, the doctrine of sanctification. Okay? Nice theological term there. Okay? Sanctification. Well, let me ask one more time. Let me hear from you. What's our definition of justification? I want to hear that one more time. Make sure we got that square. How would you define justification? Yeah, that our sins. He died on the cross for our sins, and so, what is justification? In connection with that, what's justification? We're made righteous. Yeah, we're made righteous. And how are we made righteous? How through Jesus? Faith. There you go. Through faith. Okay. Through faith in Jesus and what He did for us on the cross, God justifies us. He declares us righteous. Okay? And not something we have to work towards in any way. We are justified by grace through faith alone and nothing else. The unconditional work of God is grace that He works in us to lead us to trust in Christ and put our faith in Him. It's by faith and faith alone. Okay? Are we clear on that? All right, so now sanctification is that period of time between the moment we are converted, okay, the moment we are converted, the moment we're justified, is that moment from then to when we go to be with the Lord, okay? Does everybody follow me? Sanctification is that period between our justification, which is at a moment in time, justification, and when we go to be with the Lord. That period is sanctification. So, how many of us in here are in that period of sanctification right now? Raise your hand. That's right. If we're a Christian, we are in that period of sanctification. And sanctification, to sanctify means to set apart or to make holy. Okay? And so, what we're going to get into now in chapter 6 is what that really means. What is sanctification? All right? Okay? Any questions so far? Okay. All right, let's move into it. Let me read. I'm just going to read the first four verses tonight. Okay? Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. All right, so what in the world is Paul talking about there in verse 1? What is he talking about? says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? What do you think? Yeah, referring back to chapter 5? And anything specifically? Right, that's right. Yeah, verse 20 says at the end of chapter 5, if you want to look back there, verse 20, it says, the law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Okay? So, there is a concern, and legitimate concern to a certain extent. There's a concern here with the doctrine of justification. Okay? And Paul's teaching on this. And what would that concern be? If we are justified, okay, and think about the context of now we're talking about sanctification, okay? We're talking about that period after becoming a Christian, all right, where we're supposed to be God's people. And there's a concern here because in justification, how do we get right with God? How do we get right with God through justification? By faith. Okay? So you're saying, Brenda, all I got to do is believe. All I got to do is trust in Jesus to save me from my sins. Okay. All right. So once I get out of here, okay, after we're done with church tonight, if I want to go out and, you know, do something that might, that God might have said, thou shalt not do here in this book, that's okay. That's not going to hurt me with my salvation. Because I'm saved by faith alone. So I can basically go out and sow my oats, you know, and this won't be a problem because I'm in. God will whoop me. Is that all? Is that all? Hey, if I'm going to get into heaven, that's okay. Right? It might be worth it. It might be worth it. Go out there and sin, do whatever I want to do. Yeah, I might get whooped up a little bit, but hey, I'm going to get to heaven anyway, right? Well, okay, that's a difference then. That's a whole different matter then. But you see the issue. You see the problem that people might have. Again, like the attitude I just had might be, I mean, in all reality, is that not what some people think? Well, yeah, and that's what we're coming to. Yes, we're coming to. But that's the point, is if we're saying we are justified by faith alone, then what's to say we can't go out and do whatever we want to do and have just a good old time, sin like the devil, but it'll be okay because we're still saved by faith. You see, that's the attitude some people will have. And then perhaps a Jew reading this, you know, a legalist, he's saying, hey, we're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be these godly people. And you're telling me the only thing I have to do to be in good standing with God is to believe in Jesus, to trust in Him as my Savior. Then what's the whole point of the law in the first place? You know? I mean, you're saying it's just to say that, show us how much sin we got? So you see the issue here is how are we supposed to be holy? What's the motivation to be holy when that's not how we get to heaven? Okay? Right. Right. Oh, I agree with all that. Everything you said there, and we're going to get into this now, but you see the question. Yeah. Okay, but you see the question, you see the problem people would have. So Paul is meeting it head on, just like we saw him do over in the earlier chapters. He would kind of, I think it was chapter 3, beginning of chapter 3, he starts raising these hypothetical questions, you know, and he's probably dealt with them before. So he's doing the same thing here in chapter 6. Basically, what he would think the response is going to be to his doctrine of justification. All right, so Anyway, so that's what that's kind of the context here we're going to be in going through chapter 6, is him explaining and defending justification based on that argument there that you have in verse 1. Okay? Now let me say, just as a side note before we go any further, is the fact that Paul could be criticized in this way shows that the biblical teaching of justification is without works. Okay? The whole idea, you know, this should be another thing that kind of solidifies that for you, is that coming from a different angle, I just want to do everything I can to help us make sure we understand justification, is the fact that Paul could be accused of this, you know, just promoting sin here, it shows that there is no part of works in our justification. None whatsoever. Because he's being accused of promoting sin because he's saying we can be saved only by faith. That's exactly what he's saying. We are saved only by faith. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying? Okay. All right. So Paul begins his defense there in verse 2. Verse 2 says, by no means. Okay, that's his response to that question. By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So he begins there with a simple but emphatic statement that line of thinking in verse 1 is totally contrary to the doctrine of justification and sanctification. And then he states why it's contradictory. Because we died to sin. Okay, simply put, we died to sin. That's why. That's why we don't go out and just sin more, because grace will abound more, because we died to sin. Now, what's that mean? what's that mean? We died to sin. That's why. You know, what's that mean? Say that one more time. We literally died. Say that again. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, yeah, I agree with you there. I think we're going to have to dig into that a little bit more. But I think he states it so emphatically because it is emphatic. It is emphatic. It's Something major happened when we came to faith in Christ. Something very literal happened here, and just like you're saying, just like when a dead person dies. Well, I mean, just like when a person dies. Okay, a dead person is they're when we say they're dead, we don't mean they're just not moving, or that they're still somewhere around here existing. We just don't know where they are, or we can't see them. Okay? They have left this realm. Okay? A dead person is no longer in this realm around us. And that's why he's saying that we have died to sin. And so if we have in a sense died to sin, and so we are no longer in the realm of sin, then how can we continue to live in sin? Does that make sense? Are you following the analogy there? If a human being dies, okay, he leaves this world so he can no longer live in this world. All right? In the same way, through Christ, through justification, we have literally left the realm of sin. So how can we continue to live in sin? Does that make sense? Okay, verse 3 is going to explain it more, but I just want to make sure you understand the analogy there. Okay? All right, let's move to verse 3 and let's get further explanation. Paul explains further in verse 3. He says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" So now he is connecting us dying to sin with our baptism. Okay? He is connecting the idea of dying to sin with our baptism. And he's saying when we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into His death. Okay? So now I think to understand this, we're going to have to understand what baptism is. So what's baptism? To understand what it means to die to sin, he's just connected die to sin to baptism. Okay, so now we got to understand what baptism means. What does baptism mean? Does it save us in any way? We're talking about water baptism. We're talking about, you know, up there in the baptismal. Okay? Symbolic. Okay, it's a symbolic act. And what does that symbolic act mean? Okay, buried. Okay. Oh, but okay. Let's. You're exactly right, Ted. Let's back up one. Let's back up. I guess not just. I don't want just the meaning of baptism, but first of all, what's the purpose of baptism? Obedience. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What? You're right in all that. What else? What? Why do we do baptism? You know, somebody hears the gospel, and they put their faith in Christ, and they're saved. Okay, they might have been saved for months before we actually baptized, but we baptized them. Why are we baptizing them? Public what? A public profession of what? Faith. A public profession of faith. That's right. So, and that's what we see in the New Testament. In the New Testament, baptism acted as a public profession of faith. It said to the world, I have put my faith in Jesus. I am trusting in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. What He did on the cross for my sins, going back to what you're talking about, Ted, you know, go underwater, is that death, okay, come up out of water, to raise to new life, okay, That profession of faith that we are trusting in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Okay? So, Paul was saying here that when we, by faith, were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into His death. So what is the significance there in our act of baptism that unites us with Christ here? He says we're being baptized into Christ. So if we're going into Christ, we're being unified here. We're being united in Christ here, right? Right? Okay. So it's not the baptism, but the faith behind the baptism, isn't it? Okay, so I think what he's trying to get across to us is that through faith in Christ, we are united with Him. We are united with Him. So, just as Jesus, going back to verse 2, when it says that we died to sin, what might that mean? If we've been united with Christ, okay? If we believe we're justified by faith alone, if we believe we're justified by faith alone, and that's the whole argument here. So people are saying you can go out and just sin and do whatever you want to if you're just saved by faith alone. And so, okay, we're saying we're saved by faith alone. We put our faith in Jesus Christ, and so by putting our faith in Christ, we have died to sin. So what would that mean? How, through faith in Christ, have we died to sin? Did Jesus die? Right. If Jesus died, it's the Scriptures say that Jesus died once for sin, and we've been united with Jesus by faith, Okay, if we've been somehow, I can't fully explain it, but somehow by faith it says we are united with Christ. We are in Christ. Okay? And so when Jesus died for sin, we died with Him. We died with Him to sin. Are you tracking with me? So I believe, I'm summing up, I believe verse 2 means when we died to sin, we died with Christ. That's what it's talking about. Okay, and then verse 3, or don't you know that that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Okay, through faith in Him, we were united with Him. And so just as He died, we died too. And here's where it comes all together, verse 4. Verse 4 says, we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Okay? So if we've been united with Christ and He died once for sin, and we died with Him, then as Jesus was also raised to life, what's that mean for us who are united with Christ? We are raised to newness of life. Okay? So that's Paul's argument. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that no, we won't go on sinning. You know, we don't have to be concerned with the idea that just because we're saved by faith alone, that we will just go out and sin and we'll just have all this sin going on, no control, because everybody is just gonna go to heaven by faith. Okay, that's not gonna happen, Paul is saying, because we have been united with Christ through faith, and just as He died to sin once for all and was raised to new life, we too died once for sin and will be raised. And we are raised with Him to newness of life. Okay? So, that's what he's saying, but what's he meaning by all that? What's he meaning there? What's that mean? What's that mean when, let's talk about that. Jesus died on the cross. Okay? And when He died on the cross, what did it accomplish? Sins of the world are on His back. Paid for our sin. What's another way we talk about that? We talk about He paid for our sins. Atonement? Yeah. He took the guilt. Right? He took the guilt of our sins. He paid for them. Right? But is that all He did on the cross? Is that all the cross accomplished? Is it? Based on Paul's argument here, what's he saying? Look there at verse 4. How was Christ raised? Right. Through the glory of the Father, so that we too may live a new life. Okay, that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Okay, so if the glory of the Father, and what is the glory of the Father? I mean, the majesty of God, maybe. One commentary said the sum of His perfections. Okay? So at the sum of God's perfections raised Jesus from the dead. And just if we've been united with Christ through faith in death and then of course resurrection. Okay? What have we been given through His death and resurrection? Through faith in His death and resurrection. What have we been given? New life, but what's that new life mean? There's a power there. There's a power there, isn't there? And that's the other thing that Christ's death and resurrection accomplishes for us. Yes, he paid for our guilt. Yes, the resurrection proves that he did that. But we can't lose sight of the fact, and I don't know if you remember, but going back, you go back to Romans 1 and 2, okay, is that you could clearly see in Romans 1 and 2, and even in 3, that we needed to be saved, not just from the guilt of sin, but from the power and bondage that sin had on us. Okay? You tracking with me? We had Jesus' death on the cross is paid for our guilt. But at the same time, Jesus wasn't just trying to give us a ticket to heaven, was he? Okay, he was doing a work in us to he was trying to restore relationship. And so what needed to be given to us was not just freedom from our guilt, but freedom from the power of sin on us. And so just as Christ died and was raised through the glory of the Father, raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too are, through faith in Christ, died to sin and are raised as well through the glory of the Father. That means that there is a power that is being given to us who have been united with Christ. And just as Christ had that power, we have been given that same power to live a godly life, a sanctified life. And I think that's why you have Paul over in Philippians, Philippians 3, verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 11. 10, 11. He says, I want to know Christ. And what does he say? I want to know Christ in what? The power of His resurrection. Philippians 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. So that's Paul's answer. That's Paul's answer to how we will not just continue to sin unabated. You know, it's not... You got to hear me out, folks. When we become a Christian, when we're justified, we don't then just start doing what they were doing in the Old Testament, trying to obey all these laws. Okay? We don't just keep saying, okay, I gotta do this because it says do this. I can't do this because it says don't do this. You know, we don't live under this legalism. Okay? We live in the power of the resurrection and the power of the fellowship we have with Christ, that we seek daily that relationship with Christ, and through that relationship we have with Him, and the power that is there in that relationship, we are able to live a holy life. But you don't have that desire without the power. Yes, is when we are freed from that bondage of sin, okay, and he's not really talking about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's obviously incorporated in this. But when we are saved, okay, that we have been changed from within, and through His death and resurrection, we've been transformed, and now have the ability to live that holy life, that sanctified life. Okay, and so we are still justified by faith alone. However, we won't. It's not a license then to go out and do whatever we want to, because if we've truly been saved, if we've truly been justified, there's been a work that's gone on within us that changes our desires so that we want the things of God, that we want to know God more. And if that has not happened, if there hasn't been a sanctification that's gone on in our hearts, if there hasn't been a change that's gone on within our hearts, then that's evidence that we've not been justified. That justification and sanctification go hand in hand. Comments or questions? Yeah, pretty much that's the evidence. Yeah. Well, I mean, and don't get me wrong, Paul's not talking about any type of moral perfection here. He's not talking about the idea that, oh, if you've been justified and you've been sanctified and you will, you will have totally overcome sin. All right? But if you go back and look at chapters 1, 2, and 3 and the description of sin there, description of people's hearts there, okay, I think we get the idea. We won't be sinless, but as chapter 3, verse 11 says, it says there's no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3, verses 10 and 11, it says there's no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Okay? Instead, we should be able to say that we do understand, we are understanding, we are beginning to understand the ways of God, and we do seek Him, we do desire Him, we do want Him. Okay? No, we're not going to be perfect, but you see the difference between what He's describing in chapter 3 and what we should be in chapter 6. So it's very important, folks, that we our lives are more not about trying to count how many sins we commit a day. Okay? It's more about how much we desire to be with God. How much we desire to want to know Him. How much we desire to want to know His Word. Is there a desire to know God? Because if we know God, if we know God, if we desire God, the knowledge of God, the love of God, the worship of God, from that flows the obedience. Okay? From that flows the obedience. Comments or questions? Do you have one, Smokey? I thought you were getting ready to say. Yeah. So we're going to get there. Yes, right. That's right. Yeah. So we'll get there and discuss that. But that's his argument that he is running with in chapter 6, is that God has done a work in us through our uniting with Christ, through being in Christ, through faith. And so it's that being in Christ, that unity in Christ, that makes all the difference, that will prevent us from going on and living a sin-filled life. Okay, we don't need the law in that sense of to keep us from sinning. Okay, the law causes us to sin more. We need Christ. We need to be unified. We need to be in Christ and close in fellowship with Christ. It's that that's going to keep us from sinning, not the law. And that's the key to sanctification. Being in in Christ, which is a done deal. It's a done deal. If we put our faith in Christ, we've been justified, so we are in Christ. And He has accomplished His work. He has accomplished His work in us, and He's going to keep accomplishing His work until that day we go to home to be with Him. Just like Philippians, I quote this so many times, but it's so true. Philippians 1:6, He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Okay? Justification, God began the work in you. Sanctification, He is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:13, it is God who is working in us to will and to act according to His good purpose. Sanctification, He is working in us to will, to want to, and to act, to do, to obey His good purposes. Comments or questions? Yeah. Well, let me correct one thing there on that. On the outside, it sure does feel like we're doing it. Okay? But Philippians 1:6, Philippians 2:13 is clear. It's God sanctifying us. Just His justifying work in us carries on in sanctification. Just as He's justified us, that He's not finished yet. He's going to keep working in us. I mean, we're saved, we're justified, but He's working in us to make us fully what He would have us to be in sanctification. Well, from God who's justified. Yeah, from God who justified. Yeah. And the clue for us is, if this has really happened to us, we should be desiring God. We should feel we should feel a little bit of state of sanctification. You know, we should feel, you know, I used to not really care about God. But now I have this strange hunger to know God more. Okay? And you can't create that. That's God creating that in you. Okay? But if I call myself a Christian and I really don't have a hunger for God, and, you know, I'm real comfortable just living my life, you know, in the world, and we have to say, whoa, what's going on here? Okay. Any questions here? See a lot of people just. All right. And of course, one final note and we'll stop. He is describing, this is where we get the meaning of baptism. Okay, just like Ted was mentioning earlier. For different reasons, but this is one of those texts that solidifies why we baptize by immersion. Okay? Because it's hard to be buried with sprinkling, you know? Okay? That going under the water symbolizes that burial, and coming up out of the water symbolizes that resurrection. Okay? So this is one of those places where we would tell our other brothers and sisters of other denominations who sprinkle that, you know, they need to take a look at this. This is Paul's interpreting it here. What did God say about His Son when He was baptized? Yeah. In Him I am well pleased. Yeah. Yeah, well, He says that part, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so it's definitely an act of obedience and faith. Proclaiming our faith. Not being baptized won't keep you out. The heart behind an unwillingness to be baptized, the sin, you know, may be what keeps someone out, but not. I mean, a refusal to be baptized might be a sign that something has not changed within. We're saved within. Right. Right. Exactly. No, it doesn't say that we can't pray in public. It just says we shouldn't pray in public to get attention for ourselves. But also says we are to proclaim Christ, we are to proclaim our faith, our devotion to Christ, and so that's why we do baptism. It's the difference between doing it for Christ, doing it for God, or doing it for ourselves. Are we doing it for His glory or our own glory? Are we going out and praying in public to say, "Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm holy. I pray." Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You.